Welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. My guest today is Bob Kunis. Bob is the cruising editor, along with his wife Carol, for Waterway Guides for the Great Lakes region. So we are very happy to have him here, and Bob is going to share some information on the western shore of Lake Michigan, since the last time around we covered the eastern shore. But before we get started, I do want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and of course, Waterway Guide Media. And as always, we encourage you to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. With that out of the way, Bob, welcome to Great Loop Radio.
Good morning.
Why don't we start, why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience boating on Lake Michigan? I know it's very extensive, but just kind of fill us in on the highlights.
Sure. We've been boating, Carol and I, for, it's around 50 years now, as long as we've been married. And we used to primarily be East Coast, and when we moved to the Chicago area 30 years ago, obviously things changed, so we bought a sailboat instead of a powerboat, and we spent the next 15 years cruising local lakes as well as Lake Michigan. And then 15 years ago, we got rid of the sailboat. As my hair got thinner and grayer, it was time to go to So we bought a Pacific Seacraft fast trawler and started our adventure on Lake Michigan. And over the last 15 years, we've been in all the ports on Lake Michigan. There's close to 200 marinas, and it's a very huge shoreline. It's 1,500 miles or so. The length is about 350 feet. And those that we haven't actually gotten to by boat because of the writing I do for Waterway Guide, we visit every marina every couple of years to get up to date and make sure that they're as we remember them for the last time. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've been doing.
And you and Carol are gold loopers as well, so you have done the entire loop.
Yeah, we did that from... We took the slow way. We started in 2003 on August 16th and finished on August 16th, 2005. And we managed to crank in about 9,000 miles, including side trips, and really had a terrific time. We went up, down the river system, up the East Coast, up the river, Hudson River, the Erie Canal, up into, we took the round trip on the Rideau Canal up to Ottawa and then the Trent Severn across. Back to Northern Bay. It was literally a life-changing experience.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So let's focus specifically on Lake Michigan. We know a lot of the loopers who are kind of on that seasonal schedule right now are either in the lake or getting ready to start their trip down Lake Michigan. We're going to talk about the Wisconsin side today, but starting off, we do hear so many people going on the Michigan side. Tell us a little bit about the differences between the two sides of the lake.
Yeah, sure. First off, the Michigan side has advantages and disadvantages. The prevailing winds on the Lake Michigan, and of course, the prevailing means all the time except when you're there. typically wet, which is going to push the warm water over to the Michigan shore and create nice warm beaches. And boy, they've got some gorgeous beaches on the Michigan side. But the passage will be rougher on the east side because of the westerly winds. If you go over the Wisconsin side, you're going to be sheltered for the first mile or two by the shoreline. You can have a much smoother passage, except when you want to do it, and the winds will shift to the northeast. But I can't help. But anyway, but the water tends to be a little cooler on the western side. Also, the eastern side has a lot of natural lakes or lakes that have been accessed by canals, so there's plenty of anchoring opportunities. There isn't a whole lot on the western side because they're mostly manufactured harbors where they built their breakwater out into the lake, so there's not a whole lot of room left over for anchoring. There is some. And by the way, almost all of the marinas on both sides of what they call harbors of refuge meaning if there's problems on the weather, you're going to get find something that they have to take care of you. We mentioned weather, so let me mention that for a second. You really need to know what you're doing weather-wise on Lake Michigan, because it can really, you know, pipe up, as we know. My favorite overall spot to look at is the buoy system, which is ndbc.noaa.gov. But unfortunately, the major buoy right in the center of the lake has been out of service for the last 6 weeks. You can still look at the northern buoy, which is 45002, and get the idea. By the way, it was a flat sea this morning, just 1 foot. Going beyond the buoys, the weather.gov is the government portal, which will give you just about anything. But there's a couple of interpretive sites that help you predict what's going on the next up to a week away. PassageWeather.com is a good one, and WindMapper.com is another good one. Both of those sites will give you predictions of waves by area and wind and temperature and all that sort of thing. So make sure you pay attention. Of course, there's a network of NOAA stations on the VHF radio. They change by locality, so there's no point. You just can't until you find one that you want to listen to. Now here's the biggest, big caveat about Lake Michigan. I don't care where you're going, how long you're going to do it. Make sure you allow at least 1 day out of three for bad weather, because I've seen waves up to, believe it or not, 19 feet on Lake Michigan, as recorded at those buoys, and we found ourselves in 9-foot seas as well. And particularly when you're heading south, if you have a southerly component to the wind and it's over 15 knots or so, it's going to really build up into something nasty, and you're better off finding a hole and lay out for a day or two and enjoy the local ice cream shops.
Okay, so definitely a plan for 1 and 3 weather days. Do you have kind of a benchmark? I know everyone goes at their own pace, but do you have kind of a benchmark on how long in general you should plan to take to do the whole western shore of the lake?
Sure. I mean, western or eastern really doesn't make much difference here.
Mm-hmm.
Mackinac to Chicago is about 350 miles. So divide that by what you want to cruise. Let's say that's going to be a week. But then you got to add those 3 days for weather. So unless you're going to really be planing all the way down the lake, count on about 9 or 10 days. And then that's not even allowing for a lot of port time. So that's the minimum, and you got to go up from there. You can add Green Bay in there, which could add a week all by itself. And that's there is some very interesting ports on the Door County western shore, which is the eastern edge of Green Bay. They're really precious. They're about as good as they get. And they are comparable to Charlevoix, Harbor Springs, and Leland, which are my three favorite ports on the eastern side of the lake. So, by the way, before I go any further, some of you might be scrambling to take notes. If you go to the last loop, Great Loop Link, I think it's called, you've got my article on cruising Lake Michigan in there, which will have most of the detail that we're talking about. And in addition, if you go to waterwayguide.com, the article is also there, but there's also the Waterway Guide magazine, which this particular issue featured the harbors on the western side of the lake that we're talking about. But they also told me they're going to post, I believe it's today or tomorrow, the links to the back issues of Waterway Guide magazine, because I've got articles in there on Fayette and Washington Island, which are really two unique ports, nothing like anything you've ever seen. And the other article is on what I call the crown jewels of Lake Michigan, which is the aforementioned Charlevoix, Harbor Springs, and Leland. So you'll get a lot of detail on how to enjoy those parts if you go look at that website.
Great. That's good advice and information, because usually our listeners like to be able to reference something else that's in writing that they don't have to actually listen to the whole episode again to get some of those details. So that's perfect. Good information. So you kind of mentioned the crown jewels of Lake Michigan and those three ports on the eastern shore. Let's get into specifics on the ports on the western shore. So if you can kind of walk us down the coastline there from the north end, where do we start?
Well, let's might as well cover the whole shore. And starting at the very top, up on the upper peninsula of Lake Michigan, is Fayette National Park, Fayette Harbor, which is actually Fayette Park, rather, which is in Snail Shell Harbor. There's a restored iron ore factory village from the 1860s, which is truly fascinating. There is a dock there. Unfortunately, there's no power. I think there might be water that you can carry, but there's no electricity. There's space for some boats, but it's worth at least looking at to see if that's something you want to experience. Washington Island itself is an interesting harbor. You may want to go visit that. Going on in the inside of Green Bay, you've got Fish Creek, Sister Bay, and Egg Harbor. All three of those are really cool. There's a Peninsula State Park that you can anchor off halfway down that shore. It's the biggest park, most popular park in the state of Wisconsin. It's got golf courses, outdoor theater, you name it, beautiful views and so on. The others, there's a famous restaurant in Sister Bay, where the goats, it has a sod roof, and it's a Scandinavian restaurant, and they have goats raising to keep the roof mowed. Kind of interesting, and great food. Moving down into Sturgeon Bay, there's a couple of great, that's a nice downtown area in Sturgeon Bay. And then making the bend now, you start heading down the Wisconsin shore. The first worthwhile stop, and this is an interesting town, it's called Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And Manitowoc has a shipbuilding history, including they built 23 subs, Gato-class submarines of World War II. And five of those, I believe it was, are what they call still on patrol. They were sunk by the Japanese and or Germans. But they have one, unfortunately they didn't build it, it was built in Connecticut, but they have a Gato-class sub there called the USS Cobia, which is by far the best restoration of any of the World War II subs that I've ever seen, and I've seen quite a few. It has on it, for example, the oldest working radar in the world. Figure that out. And the three out of the four drive engines still operate. I've been there when they started them up. They start them up every once a summer, I believe, to keep them that way. All the brass is fully polished, the paint. You can actually do overnight stays on there if you want to bring your family in. Sometimes they do that on reservation, of course, and scout troops are entertaining all the time. So that, and the museum that's associated with that, the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, is part of the Smithsonian, and it features the shipbuilding history of the Great Lakes, and it's a must-stop. By the way, there's a very nice display in that museum dedicated to the American Great Loop Cruisers Association. It was sponsored and paid for by Trawlers Midwest, as well as a couple of the Trawler Fests that we did there. A lot of us that were participating in that contributed to that. So get your picture taken in front of that display. It's a worthwhile stop. Mm-hmm. Town itself, by the way, has a very unique festival coming up on September 12th. It's the Sputnik Festival. I got to laugh just thinking about it.
Tell us, what is that festival?
Yeah, the September 6th, 1962, I think it was, a 20-pound chunk of Sputnik crashed and landed right on 8th Avenue and Park. So they've got this very kinky festival that they put together that they celebrate every year. So if you're there that late, hey, stop and do that. Moving south from there, there's Sheboygan. Now, Sheboygan was voted one of the best cities in the U.S. to retire to by, I don't know, Money or People or some other magazine. And it's a very quaint town. There's a couple of really good restaurants in there you want to stop in. It's got a very nice river walk. The marina is a good floating dock marina called Harbor Center. And interestingly, there's a memorial on the park right in front of the marina dedicated to the what's called the Secret War as part of the Vietnam War. It was a group of the people called HMONG, that they, refugees, Hmong, I think they called. I think tens of thousands of them have relocated to the Sheboygan area and created their own community. So it's an interesting town. Sheboygan, the next stop down from there is one of my favorites, is Port Washington. And the reason I like Port Washington, among other things, is that it's got a terrific couple of restaurants. One of them is the Port Hotel. Got the one of the best offerings of prime ribs I've seen. There's the Lighthouse Museum there that's worth it. There's a staircase. I think it's 125 steps or something up the side of the hill to get to the lighthouse. But it's not only a workout, but it's worthwhile. There's a bike path that goes along the lake and go from Milwaukee up to, I'm not sure how far north you can go. There's a smoked fish house, Ewig's smoke house, where you can buy any amount you want or a variety of smoked fish, which is right there in town. And there's also a terrific butcher that you can use to restock your freezer. Any comments so far, Kim?
No, you're doing great. Are there any specific marinas in some of the ports that you've mentioned, particularly some that you might want to stay a day or two? Any recommendations on where to tie up in those ports?
Yeah, well, almost always there's really only one offering. Well, Stewart County, I met in Fish Creek, Alibi is much better than the municipal marina. Mm-hmm. And that's in Fish Creek. Sister Bay, there's a municipal. There is one alongside it, too. Name escapes me, but you can find it in the marina listings at Waterway, the Waterway Explorer site, or in the book. Egg Harbor, it's a nice new municipal. Most of these marinas, though, can be tough to get into, so call and make sure that you can get some room. Sturgeon Bay, there's a number of them. The best one, I think, there is right by the first bridge as you're coming in from Green Bay, and that's, that name is escaping me as well. Incidentally, there's three bridges in Sturgeon Bay, and one of them is tall enough that you don't have to worry about it. And then there's the Oregon Street Bridge, which is only a couple of years old, which was built to replace the Michigan Bridge, which was built back in the 30s. So the plan, of course, was to build this nice new bridge and then take down the old bridge. But the preservationists got in there and forced them to keep the old bridge as well. So there's a couple of million that they were going to save restoring that bridge. Did not get destroyed in that as well. But anyway, there's a great marina right alongside that. And the Quarterdeck Marina a little further up is good, too, but it's a little bit longer walk to town. When you get to Manitowoc, there's only one. It's a Manitowoc Marine. By the way, that's an excellent mechanical shop and paint shop or anything else that needs to be done. So if you want to stop, if you need work, that would be a good place to stop. They've got a full parts department and a great ship store featuring Waterway Guide, I might add. They got a good inventory there. And then moving down the ship, like I said, Harbor Center. There are slips along the river, but I would not do that. They don't have good. They don't have access to restrooms. The yacht club in Sheboygan is also a nice yacht club, but the slips are not as let's say big and spacious, and they're as the Harbor Center is. Let's see.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let's just take a short break here. I'll play a message from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be right back and kind of continue southward on the lake until we get to Chicago. Be back in just a moment.
Northport Bay Boatyard is a complete marine service facility located on Grand Traverse Bay in Northport, Michigan. They feature over 85,000 square feet of heated storage, and they are offering loopers a 10% discount on heated storage, as well as a winter labor rate of $75. That's a $10 discount off their usual rate. For more information, visit www.npbby.com or call 231-386-5151. Northport Bay Boatyard is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
We are back with Bob Kunath, who is the cruising editor for the Great Lakes for Waterway Guide. Bob, we are working our way down the western shore of Lake Michigan. So let's pick up where we left off and continue towards Chicago.
Okay. We another mention on Port Washington. They've got a very modern new or renovated or whatever you call rebuilt floating dock marina, but they also have a well inside, so it shouldn't be an issue. And by the way, they offer an extended weekly rate, which is very compelling if you want to stay a while there. Down at Milwaukee, which is the next stop, you're probably going to want to stay at McKinley, which is a city marina, and it's got reasonably good access. Cross over, I think it's the highway right alongside the marina. There's a bridge you'll see going up the hill to Brady Street that's loaded with trendy restaurants, a small grocery, and other facilities like that. Just a short walk, perhaps a half a mile or so from the Milwaukee McKinley Marina, there's the Milwaukee Art Museum right on the lakefront. And that's an astounding building built by Santiago Calatravas, designed by him, rather. It's in the shape of a gull, and the entire roof structure looks like a pair of wings, and they open and close to follow the sun to protect the artwork inside the museum. It's truly unique. Meyer Festival Park is right next to that, and there's a festival every single weekend, so you're not going to miss if you go now. I don't know which is coming up, Polish or German or Italian, you name it. It's going to have something. It is the site of the Summerfest, which is the largest music festival actually in the world. That happens around July 4th. South from Milwaukee, about 20 miles, is Racine Harbor. Reef Point Marina is the main marina there, but there's a few others. That's our home base, by the way. So if you get there, in the extreme northeast corner of the marina, you'll find Sanssouci, a blue Pacific Sea Craft trawler. I hope you'll try and get in touch with us if you go there. That's a large marina. It's about 900 slips, and it's perhaps 75% full, which means there's plenty of room for transit. And they do offer a buy one, get one free rate to AGLCA. So if you're going to stay, let's say, 4 days, it'll work down to 75 cents a foot per day for your 4 days there, which is really a true bargain. There's a great restaurant right on site. There's fuel. There's the beauty to Racine is the downtown itself. Reef Point was built about 25 years ago, and it really set the standard for the rest of the lake because they had an aging short manufacturing town. They needed to get reborn, let's say, or renovate, and they've done it. There's a dozen or so great restaurants within a short walk. There's an art museum, there's several art galleries, there's shops of all kinds, there's festivals, there's you name it. It just goes on and on. We've been there for 25 years and never found a reason to move. Going further south from Racine, the next stop is Kenosha. It's a nice harbor and it's another nice town. They have a limited transit, so it's not as easy to get into. So make sure you call ahead if you want to go to Southport Harbor and Kenosha. Crossing the state line, the first harbor is Northport, which is a very large marina. It's about 1,600 slips. It's a state marina, but I have to say, unfortunately, it's reflecting the budget problems in Illinois. It's not quite as attractive and pleasant as it had been in past years. So then, the next stop from there is Waukegan, which is a downtown marina. It's a very good marina and easy to tie up with floating docks. Be cautious leaving the marina. The downtown area on the other side of the tracks is, on the other side of the tracks. I guess best way to say that. So and the good news there for both that and North Point is there is Metro service to Chicago. So if you were going to plan an extended Chicago stay rather than pay, it's going to cost you between $100 and $150 to tie up in Chicago. So if you can kind of save money by staying up there and using the train. From Waukegan, it's another 25 miles till you start seeing the Chicago marinas. There's about, I think there's 9 of them, and they're all okay. I like Belmont if you want to go to a Wrigley game, you know, a Cubs game at Wrigley if you're there at the right time. There's a number of others along the shore, but not all of them will take larger boats. DuSable is probably the most popular for cruisers because it's right there in the loop, and it's also a short walk to Navy Pier, which is the most, actually, I think it's the biggest tourist attraction in the Midwest, not just Illinois. Navy Pier, it's a must-stop. There's great beaches in Chicago. And, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention when we were talking weather, I did look first thing this morning at the surface temperatures on Lake Michigan. And we've got a surprise here. Back in June, I still saw surface temperatures in the 40s, which is scary because you don't get on the lake without fog when you've got cold water like that. There was no place on the surface temperature map that I looked at this morning where they were less than, let's say, 60. So most of the temperatures in the northern half of the lake are in the low 60s, southern half of the lake in the around 70 or 72 degrees. So, and the lake was pretty much flat today, too. So if you were traveling today, great. Not counting next week. You never know. But that's where it is right now. But anyway, down in Chicago, there's if you're there anywhere near it now, it's almost worth getting public transportation to get there. The air show is this weekend. And it's Saturday with a full practice on Friday. So if you're down in that area, that's the premier air show. And I got to make a plug here. A family friend, Lieutenant Ryan Chamberlain, is flying Blue Angels number 6. So we'll probably go down there and, you know, cheer him on. So Chicago, the harbor, if you need to stay there a while and you don't mind a little bit being out of the close in, investigate the 31st Street Marina. That's a gigantic marina they just built a couple of years ago, and it's not full. So they've been promoting a buy one, get one promotion there, which will cut your moorage in half for their stay in Chicago. But it is a couple of miles up to the loop. You'll need cabs or bus or train or whatever to get where you want to go. But it is a gorgeous new marina. It's got a nice beach. It's got floating docks and all that stuff. So let's see. Then below there, you can get down to Hammond, which a lot of cruisers, especially if they've taken the Eastern Shore down, make that their last stop before they enter the Calumet. So you need to be under 17 feet to go down the Chicago River from the lock that's right next to Navy Pier and DuSable Harbor. You need to get down to 17 feet height if you're going to go take that path. And not ask for bridges to be opened in downtown, which is very, very difficult to do. If you take the Calumet River, the Calumet Canal, all that's 19 feet is your limit there. If you're more than 19 feet, you better turn around.
Yes. And that is the lowest fixed bridge on the Great Loop. Is that 19? I think the last charts put it at 19.7 feet, if I'm remembering correctly. So yeah, definitely need to be able to get under that.
The other good news I forgot to mention is the lake level is up. We were below datum as recently as 2 years ago. Now we're 2 feet over datum, but that may cause a little trouble going into some of those rivers. So.
Right. Good point. Yeah, one final question for you, Bob. We get a lot of people asking regarding when fall comes that far north. So as far as recommending when people should be off of Lake Michigan because of more weather days, because the facilities start to close, what is your thought there? When's the last date, really, that loopers should shoot for to be through to Chicago?
Well, I think Labor Day is a good shot. You can extend it somewhat beyond there in that area, but keep in mind the marinas start sending the college kids back after Labor Day on the public marine, like on the Michigan side. So they're already thinning out now as kids go back to school and so on, and some of the marina managers are teachers, so you can see what happens there.
Right.
The weather from right now on can be iffy. I mean, I'm not predicting anything, but generally there's one big nasty front that goes through in the late August on Lake Michigan, and it's going to make you hole up for a couple of days. You can take your time. I know one very prominent looper, Bob Kovach, went down late. I don't think he started until well after Labor Day, and he was on the river system up through October, and he said he had no problems at all. Mm-hmm. Further on down, you may have a little more trouble because they start reducing the lock levels and so on, and you need to stay tuned to that.
Okay. We are actually out of time. I think we got through most of what we intended to cover, though. Are there any important points that we may have missed, Bob?
Well, only that it's a great lake by definition, but you got to have respect for it. Like I said, make sure you keep that extra time on there. And, stop and see us in Racine. I think there's a really good argument for making a crossing around Frankfort or so where it's short. You've already got the best of that shore. Then come on down and spend some time with us.
Okay. Bob, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. If you're looking for more on Bob's writing, of course, he's the cruising editor for Waterway Guides for the Great Lakes. Their website is waterwayguide.com. If you're looking for more Great Loop information, you can find us on the web at greatloop.org. I think that wraps it up for today. Until next week, safe cruising.